This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
I do.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
He's looking at you, kid.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Why don't you just let me be, huh?
That is just like you, Harry. You say things like that and you make it impossible for me to hate you.
I'm also just a girl. Standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
Promise me now, Rose.
I will let go, Jack.
If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris.
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
Today, more than ever, you will always have Paris. We're going to be talking lots about the French Film Festival. You're on the casting couch. My name is Thomas Caldwell.
And I'm Kylie Eddy.
And I just barely made it in today.
I would like to draw a vision for our listeners of Thomas entering the studio, full wet weather, riding gear, apparel,
yep.
Hair in disarray,
yep.
Drips coming off the end of the nose. That was an incredible effort.
Yeah, I decided,
with 30 seconds to spare.
It wasn't quite 30, but it was pretty last minute and panicky.
Close.
So, hey, I'm just making this show up as I go. There was no way I was going to cycle in today. I thought that's insane, but I couldn't get a tram, couldn't get a taxi. I thought, right, time to go home and jump on the bike. And say a little prayer, just discover religion and make the most of it.
Well, I'm delighted that you've made it here in one piece, albeit a little soggy.
Yeah, yeah. So I apologise for the smell. I've had to take my shoes off. I'm half naked because everything I'm wearing is wet.
Lucky it's radio.
But I'm covered up in all the good ways, so don't stress. People don't want to hear about this. They want to hear about what we're reviewing today. First of all, though, how good is it that Kaz is back on the airwaves?
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, we do love all the people who look after that slot when she's not around. But I don't know, just
the accent, really.
The accent, and damn, it was mellow and fine today, too. I love that somber edge was going out. Really classy tune.
I can tell you have a meeting of the music minds.
Oh, it was lovely. Really enjoying it. And Murray, thank you very much for taking care of the news. Now, interesting bunch of films we've got for us today.
We are going from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
So the French Film Festival.
Yep.
Maureen has gone along and seen a couple of films which she'll be reviewing for us.
Yeah, I've grabbed a couple of them as well.
Have you now?
We're going to have a bit of a discussion about maybe three or four of the films over the first two segments of the show.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and a few highlights, stuff that we reckon people should go to as well.
Right, it looks like a fantastic program this year.
It's a gorgeous program. I'm quite excited by it. But having to see as much as possible now before we go all MQFF, because that's going to be nuts when that kicks in.
Yes, that'll be a bit nuts as well, starting on the 17th of March.
Yes, exciting.
Tickets on sale now. www.mqff.com.au.
You do it. We're looking at some regular release films, of course, though. First of all, Dear John, the film... Yeah, this is the first one we're reviewing this hour. This is the film that's toppled Avatar off the box office charts in the States.
Shocking.
It's a romance film.
Yeah,
it's a kind of old-school romance, isn't it?
I would even go as far to say melodrama.
Melodrama. I haven't seen it.
Yes, I have.
You caught it very recently,
yes.
So I'm curious to see what you think of that. Then we're going to go on to a film that I was certainly very excited about, and I think a lot of our listeners are hoping to find out all about, and that's Alice in Wonderland.
I'm still reeling. I just saw it this morning.
Oh, you just went this morning? That will be interesting.
Yep.
The latest by Tim Burton. Tim Burton and Lewis Carroll together at last. It kind of makes sense.
It really does.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be talking about a new, very strange Iraq comedy drama war film called The Men Who Stare at Goats. All-star cast. George Clooney, Ewan McGregor, Jeff Bridges, Curious film. We'll be talking about that more later.
It's like George Clooney just rounded up some of his favourite mates and went, let's just do this for fun.
He does that. He realises there's not going to be another Ocean's 11 sequel.
So what can I do instead?
Kevin Spacey's in there as well. Let's just get the gang in. Yeah.
Great.
And we're going to talk Academy Awards. Hello, they're happening soon.
Yeah, Monday.
Monday. We're going to be putting through our predictions, but you know what's going to be a lot more fun? If we hear from you lot. We want you to tell us what your predictions are, and we have one hell of a good carrot for you.
Yes, it's a fantastic prize this week. Tell us all about it, Thomas.
This is thanks to Madman, the DVD distributors, and film distributors as well, but they've put together a pack of 10 DVDs to celebrate the 210th Academy Awards and also the recent release of Departures. That's one of the films they've released, which won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Picture last year, being 2009. So the DVDs in this pack, and I swear this is like half my my DVD collection. You've got The Counterfeiters, brilliant Austrian film, Man on Wire, Spirited Away, one of the best animations, Amoros Perros, Taxi to the Dark Side, Harvey Crumpet, Adam Elliott, Australia's own, and one of our favourite guests here.
Yes.
La Strada, one of Fellini's best. Rashomon by Kurosawa, Departures I mentioned, and Totsi.
What an incredible prize pack.
Look, you'd be happy to win one of those DVDs, but you can get all 10.
And I think that people are going to have to work a little bit harder. I think that we should ask, maybe should we say best film? Should we talk about best film, or should we leave it for a little while until we announce how we're going to give this away?
I reckon people can start getting in touch now.
Okay,
but you've got the entire show. We're not going to draw this until late in the show, so you don't have to rush. But you've got about 1.5 hours now to get in touch, and we'll talk about what everyone has said throughout the show towards the end of the second hour and draw the winner. So you need to get in touch with us on 1300-JOY-949, SMS us on 0427-JOY-949, or email onair@joy.org.au. Let's get to some music. I've got a French theme for us, of course. We are talking French film for most of the first hour, so lots of French music and music from French cinema to start off with. I'm going to play you a song now from Martha Wainwright's new album, which is a dedication to Edith Piaf. Basically, Martha Wainwright sings a whole bunch of Piaf songs, and it's absolutely gorgeous. We're going to kick off with La Foule here on the Casting Couch. This is Joy 94.9. Yeah, I love it. That was the opening theme to Breathless, Jean-Luc Godard's, French New Wave masterpiece from 1960. That just influenced so many styles and modes of filmmaking ever since. It's awesome. That was from Breathless. You're listening to The Casting Couch with Thomas and Kylie and on Joy 94.9. And yeah, I'm playing French music because we're about to discuss the Alliance French Film Festival. Now, first, Kylie, we thought we it might be fair if we actually read out the names of the 10 films that have been nominated for an Academy Award Best Picture.
Yeah, so Best Motion Picture of the Year category. There are so many nominees this year. So these are the films that are up for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. And please choose one and then SMS us to go in our prize draw to win 10 DVDs from Mad Men.
We'll take SMS or email. We don't have front desk support today.
Oh, they've got scared. They're scared off.
They are. The rain. So SMS 0427 or Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
So here they are. Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air. So there's a lot to choose from there. I'm sure there's something for everyone. So please email or SMS your favourite, and we will keep talking about Oscars later on in the show.
Yeah, and you get to win that 10 DVD pack from Madman Entertainment. But now let's turn our attention to the Alliance Française French Film Festival for 2010, which I'm really excited about because it's a magnificent collection of films this year. Maureen, welcome to the studio.
Hi.
Hi, it's always good to have you in the house.
Thank you.
You're so not in the hood.
I don't know where that came from, dude. That was one of those. There's probably a French word for when you're saying something, and as you're saying it, you just think, oh, God, shut up, no.
Ein Idiot? Yeah. I'm not sure if that's French.
Ich bin doof. I know that's German for I am stupid. Maureen, we're being foolish.
Maybe you're inspired by some of the students in this film.
Yeah. Let's talk about Skirt Day then. This is the first film. Both you and I have seen this. Mm-hmm. I only saw it this morning. I'm still trying to get my head around it.
Yes. It's written and directed by Jean-Paul Lilienfeld, and it stars Isabelle Adjani as a school teacher, secondary school teacher in a school, Parisian High School, mm-hmm. And her character's name is Sonia Bergerac. And so the movie opens with these really unruly students in a school hall on their way to class, and she's a drama teacher, so she's taking them to the kind of purpose-built drama room, which is soundproof, which is kind of important to the plot.
Take note of that.
Anyway, she discovers one of the students has a gun and there's a scuffle. And in the end, she ends up taking most of the class hostage. Yeah. And so then the movie revolves between what's happening inside this drama room and the negotiators outside, the SWAT police team that have arrived, and other teachers, the principal, and parents that are arriving at the school. So that's the synopsis for the film.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because last year or the year before, we saw a film called The Class, which is the Cannes winner.
Yes, I haven't seen that, but yeah, this is being compared to this film.
Well, The Class was a bit of a social realist look at a similar school where there's problem students and a real kind of ethnic mix of students causing all sorts of tensions, and a teacher who was just very calm and skilled at keeping them all under control. Where in this film, it's portrayed as a battle zone.
Like, that's right.
They're really wild.
Yeah, that's right. There's chaos sort of throughout the school and in people, you know, the teachers and students' sort of personal lives as well, it seems. So, but it's a mix of comedy and drama in this movie. I don't know if The Class used comedy at all.
It's got some funny moments, but The Class aimed to be very realistic.
Yeah.
Where this film, Skirt Day, it obviously was trying to explore a lot of issues. Like,
there's
a lot of gender and there's a lot of ethnic issues explored in the various characters in this film.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's unusual or a bit weird to have the symbol of the skirt used, which is, obviously gives the film its name.
There's a lot made from the fact that she wore a skirt to school when the teacher wore a skirt to school when the principal said don't do it.
That's
right. And there's a lot of discussion about the politics of that.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure where this film's coming from. I'm not too sure whether it's a little bit dodgy or not.
My feeling was it would not intend that to be the case.
No.
I mean, it's probably, it's because you would remember that, there's been controversy about the French government's decision to, remove religious symbols, clothing, etc., from schools.
Which is explored in this film.
Yeah, and so, I mean, a couple of things I read thought this was take on that sort of, the Western version or something of that.
I really think so. I mean, the French do that with their filmmaking a lot. They really focus on contemporary issues in a big way, and the French are really big in using cinema to, to bring to light past wrongs and to try and make social change. Cinema has such an important role in French society, and a lot of their films do initiate social change.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, did you think some of it was funny, like the, conducting the class at gunpoint sort of thing, having the...
I found it really tense.
I
found it really full on. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it. But I just was very uptight about, one, what was going to happen with the action, and two, what was the political message of this film? Was it going?
I do think some of the drama was a bit, over the top.
Has its contrived moments, doesn't it?
But overall, I enjoyed it and thought, I quite liked Isabella Gianni in that role as well.
It's good to see her back on the screen.
Yeah, after a break, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll keep you here to talk more to us about other films. But for Skirt Day, can you give it a rating?
Yeah, I'll give it 3.
Give it 3. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'll probably give it 3.5.
Oh, okay.
There we go. It sounds like you liked it more than me, and I'm giving it a high rating.
Yeah, I mean, well, from what you were saying about those reservations and the kind of the over-the-top quality, that sort of stopped me from being more enthusiastic,
I think. You're right. Bugger it. I'm going down to 3.
Okay.
I'm with you. You've convinced me. You're listening to The Casting Couch with Thomas Kiely and Maureen. We're talking French cinema. Let's go to a bit more music now. This is, oh, wow, you're going to recognise this piece of music. This is a piece of music from Manon of the Spring. It also got used a lot in a Stella ad. You're on The Casting Couch. This is Joy 94.9. You're back on the casting couch on Joy 94.9. We're talking to Maureen, who is our intrepid reporter. That's new. Who's gone off to see some of the films at the Alliance Française Film Festival, French Film Festival. LOL, or do we say LOL?
I wondered about that, actually. Yeah. And which,
as yes, in the abbreviation for laugh out loud, yes, to all of those who don't know how the kids are talking these days.
Yeah, and it also has a double meaning in this because the teenager lead is Lola, and so her, and her nickname's called LOL as well. Oh, so there's all
Coca-Cola.
These levels.
Yep.
Okay, so this film...
No one gets that music reference?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, sorry, Maureen, continue.
That's all right. It's directed by Lisa Azuelos, and it also stars Sophie Marceau as Anne. And
oh, lovely.
Yeah, she looks great. Yep. And her daughter is Lola, and that's played by Krista Thorette. Mm-hmm. So the film is arranged by sort of in trimesters because a lot of it is set in a school. So it's kind of interesting to be talking about this film after we've just talked about Skirt Day, but it's a very different approach. So it starts off with these Parisian teenagers arriving back at school after holidays, and Lola introduces herself and her friends by voiceover, and, you know, it's kind of partly ironic and it's kind of all, you know, pretty cool. And, you know, she breaks up with her boyfriend, and so we're in the middle of some romantic angst pretty quickly. And Lola's mother, who's Sophie Marceau, is sleeping again with her ex-husband, so that's Lola's father, but they're keeping that a secret. So there's, you know, sort of some angst going on. They're divorced. Yeah. So
yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, so there's all this kind of romantic drama going on. So Lola begins a relationship with another boy in the class, and at around the same time her mother begins seeing a narcotics cop. So they've both got, you know, new relationships starting at the same time as well. And there's all these other kind of dramas, like, you know, there's a wild teenage party and Anne secretly reads Lola's journal, and there's fights between teenagers and their parents. So, and, you know, so a lot of general teenage angst. And the French students also go on an excursion to England, so that gives them an opportunity for the French to make fun of the English as well.
Oh, and do they put the boat in a bit to the English?
Oh, you know, they're all kind of...
Because the English have been doing it to the French for a long,
yeah,
long time.
Yeah, well, no, they're all... Like, they seem to be staying with, you know, like kind of English country folk, you know?
Yes.
So it's sort of tweed skirts and that sort of thing.
I love it.
Yeah, so look, and so everyone's kind of pretty gorgeous, you know, all these teenagers and their parents. And, you know, the acting's good, and there's actually the chemistry between those couples that I talked about. That's all good as well. But it's sort of like, you know, no one really grabs you. I don't think there's anyone who, you know, whose side you're really on or that's really engaging. So and it's also sort of almost teetered a bit on self-absorbed in some ways, these characters. So it's all a bit kind of, you know, middle-class dinner parties and stuff as well. So,
not overly impressed.
No, look, and, you know, it uses, it's interesting, it raises some issues that were kind of, as I mentioned in Skirt Day earlier, about like issues of respect, talking about, you know, the boys respecting the girls. And part one of the themes is Anne's worried about Lola's sort of sexuality, that she's, you know, starting to become sexually active, and, you know, she's a bit sort of almost embarrassed about this because she's always regarded herself as a liberated woman, but, you know, she doesn't like it in her own daughter. So it's sort of exploring those sorts of issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what, could you give it a star rating? Do you think it's worth...
Look, it's enjoyable, but, I'd only give it 2.5. But there's also going to be a US remake.
Oh, really?
Apparently, yeah, by the same director, but and starring Miley Cyrus.
Oh, I'm there. I'm so excited.
How quickly has Kylie got the reputation as the person who likes Miley Cyrus?
You notice how quiet I've been? French film. Oh, whatever. Miley! Oh, so exciting.
And maybe Demi Moore as the other character.
Oh, my God, that is... Oh, I'm there.
Oh, wow.
I'm so excited.
Wow. Goodness me, Demi Moore and Miley Cyrus together at last. So that's LOL, 2.5 from Maureen. Now, just very quickly, I also checked out a film called The Army of Crime, which is a film all about the French Resistance, so set in 1941 in Paris. And this is an extraordinary film, which I really think people should go and see. And it's very much focusing on the immigrant members of the French Resistance, so people who had come to France because they were escaping something else, and then suddenly Paris was occupied by the Nazis, and these people form the resistance. So the lead character is actually an Armenian, and I don't know if people are, I'm paraphrasing, but there's the famous quote of Hitler when he said, "No one will remember the Jews because, after all, nobody remembered the Armenians, who, of course, were massacred by the Turks." And, you know, there are characters that have come from the Spanish Civil War. Really good sort of wartime drama film, and really moving. And I lived in Paris for a while, and one of the things that really astonished me was there were these plaques everywhere dotted around Paris dedicated to resistance people who were shot or murdered by the Nazis on that corner. I lived around the block from where a couple of people got murdered like 2 weeks before the liberation. And this film's about those people, so I loved it. Really, really good film. So The Army of Crime is a 4-star film for me. I recommend people check that out. I've also seen the new Jean-Pierre Jeunet film called Micmacs. I won't go into detail about it now because we probably will cover it on the show when it gets a general release. But this is the latest by the guy who did Delicatessen, City of the Lost Children, and Amelie.
Classics. Yeah. They're just so such amazing films. This is the opening night film, isn't it, of the French Film Festival?
It is. And actually, Jeunet's been in town giving presentations and lectures as well. So I've missed them all, unfortunately. But that is getting a general release. So we'll talk about that in maybe 3 or 4 weeks. The other film that it's not getting a release that I reckon people should go and see, I'm certainly going to try and track it down, is a film called White Material by Claire Denis. Now, Claire Denis is just one of the most interesting filmmakers in the world at the moment. She made a film called 35 Shots of Rum, which was in the Melbourne International Film Festival last year and was a crowd favourite. I don't know why that film hasn't got a general release. It's a film starring Isabelle Huppé. Yeah, I mean, do I need to sell this any further? No. White Material, go and see that. You'll probably see me in the audience sort of drooling. And also, the closing night film, I know it has been bought up by a local distributor, but I don't know if it's been set to get a cinematic release yet. But it's a biopic all about Serge Gainsbourg. So I reckon that will be pretty cool.
That sounds really great as well.
Yeah. French Film Festival is on right now. I'll put a link up on our Facebook page for that. That's the Casting Couch on Joy 94.9 Facebook page. So you get more information there. Maureen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. See you next time.
You'll be next time covering MQFF films for us.
Yeah.
And then for the next 3 weeks. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, let's go to some more music.
Just before we go, we are running a competition. We're giving away 10 Oscar-winning DVDs thanks to Mad Men, and we're asking you to vote for best motion picture of the year at the Oscars this year. Now, there are quite a few nominees. I'm going to quickly go through them again. Mm. Avatar, The Blind Side, District 9, An Education, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Precious, A Serious Man, Up, and Up in the Air, just to confuse matters. So vote for any one of those that you think is going to be the Oscar contender, the Oscar winner for this year. SMS us or send us an email.
That number would be 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au.
Oh, I'll have to remember those.
I'm reading them, Kylie. It'll take forever, don't worry.
And so we are already getting some SMSs. Thanks, guys. So keep them coming in. We'll be drawing a winner at the end of the show.
Yeah, and I'll read out some of the correspondence a bit later in the show. Okay, more music, sticking with the French theme. I can't do a show about French film without mentioning Jacques Tati, who's one of my favourite directors. This is a piece of music from Mon Oncle, rather gorgeous 1958 film starring and directed by Jacques Tati. You're on the Casting Couch. This is Joy 94.9. Merci beaucoup, Edith Piaf. Isn't that gorgeous? La Vie en Rose from the film La Vie en Rose about the life and times of Edith Piaf. You're on the Casting Couch on Joy 94.9 with Thomas and Kylie, who's looking at me funny.
You're in Paris heaven at the
actually
moment.
I'm
you
swooning
really,
a bit.
You know, he's wearing his beret. French bread and champagne.
A baguette.
Yeah,
in France it's just called bread.
It's not at all
a
croissant.
The French do walk around all the time carrying French bread, those French sticks. That's not a cliche, it's true.
What, under their armpits?
Everywhere. Like, really? It's an accessory. Often they start nibbling on the end before they get home. That is a cliche that's true. I didn't see any stripy shirts, but they love their baguettes.
Oh, well, what's not to love?
Yeah, and they say ooh la la all the time.
Oh, that's also fantastic,
that's
isn't
true,
it?
Yeah. And the more kind of surprised or shocked they are, the more la la's. So if something incredible happens, you will get an ooh la 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 la. Fantastic.
We should start doing that when our films are really good. Yeah. We should start having
how many ooh la la's?
Yes, an ooh la la category. So,
Dear John. We're done with French cinema now. Let's talk about a film that I don't know much about, but it looks very American.
Well, there's no shock there. It is very American. Mm-hmm. So, Dear John, it's a romantic drama about a soldier who falls for a conservative college student while he's home on leave for 2 weeks. And over 7 tumultuous years, the couple are separated by John's increasingly dangerous deployments as a soldier. They only have a chance to meet occasionally, but stay in touch by sending love letters overseas, a correspondence that eventually triggers fateful consequences.
Oh, it sounds like I've seen a Green Day video clip like this.
Have you really? Yes.
There is a Green Day clip where the lovers are torn apart because he goes to war and it's all very anguished. And
that was only 4 minutes, though, not 2 hours, I'm assuming. The video clip.
Yeah. It wasn't a 2 hour Green Day video clip.
That would be good.
Oh, my God.
That would be good. So this is actually the latest adaptation from a Nicholas Sparks novel. So for those of you who know Nicholas's work, A Walk to Remember, The Notebook, Nights in Rodanthe, and now Dear John, there's not going to be any surprise for you about this film. Mm. And I would like to say, and I would like to couch this entire review in, it's very firmly placed in the genre of melodrama. Melodrama, for some reason, is a very unpopular genre term. Certainly marketers don't really use it these days. Back in ye olde days, it was called a women's picture or a weepy.
Yeah, or it's where it's all soap. It's kind of where soap operas evolved from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's heightened emotion and it is really, you know, one would say over the top.
Yes, but it shouldn't be looked down upon. I think that's where you're getting at. It shouldn't be regarded as a bad genre.
In this genre, melodrama, it is about being over the top. It is about unrequited love. It is about the things that keep us, keep us apart.
it's like, I remember once someone telling me horror films are about excessive violence, porn films are about excessive sex, melodrama is about an excess of emotion.
Perfect. Well, I would definitely say that. I mean, take your box of tissues along. It is certainly, and just embrace the contrivance of it, and that these two characters can fall in love in 2 weeks and then have this incredible love affair. And thank God the two actors, Channing Tatum, I don't know if that's how you say his last name.
No, that sounds right.
Tatum, and Amanda Seyfried, they are so incredibly easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
So, and just so innocent and so beautiful and so, and you know, Channing just has to look at you with those dreamboat eyes. The poor guy, he doesn't really get to say anything. He just has to, you know, look at her longingly. he is one of the hardest working actors. I actually first loved him. I claim fame to this. This is when I love my teen genre films. She's the Man, which is a fantastic teen. You're looking at me perplexed.
No, see, I know of it. I've got a feeling we're talking about a group of films that I've just avoided all my life.
Well, see, this is interesting because I was very quiet during the French film festival part, and now's your turn. So, and step Right Up, which is another fantastic teen film. So he's really kind of come from this this kind of ilk, but he is more and more choosing harder roles, and he really does have the acting muscles for it. Stop Loss was probably one of his more recent forays into drama.
That was interesting, that film. Yes.
And, you know, and he does a fantastic job here. Amanda Seyfried is from Mamma Mia, of course.
That's who she is. The singer.
Right. And they do try and, you know, she does a bit of singing in this as well. Why not? And Big Love, she has a recurring role.
She's the daughter in Mamma Mia.
Yes.
Yeah, okay,
yes,
I've
Meryl
got
Streep's
it.
Yep. daughter. She's gorgeous.
I have seen that one.
Oh, good for you. And so I love that you're sticking with the program. But there are two supporting roles that really make this film worthwhile as well. One is Richard Jenkins, who is incredible character actor.
He's a sensational actor.
He is so fantastic. And he plays the soldier's father. And it's the kind of father-son relationship between them is quite incredible. And Henry Thomas also plays a supporting role. So you might...
Hang on, Henry Thomas, as in E.T.?
Yes, as in E.T.
Yeah, Elliot from E.T. Oh, and wow.
Who was also in that that Brad Pitt film where he played the...
Legends of the Fall.
That's
the one, yeah.
As the young kind of... So he plays a role in this as well. That's fantastic. So, look, it is definitely a melodrama. Yep. There are tears. There's romance. There's lots of longing looks. There's beautiful scenery. There's lots of long blonde hair flying in the wind. Flying in the wind.
So it sounds like it delivers.
I really enjoyed it.
It adheres to certain generic expectations, and there's don't make any assumptions about that being a bad thing. And it sounds like it does that. It sets up what it's going to be, and it delivers in spades.
It absolutely does. Yeah. There are a few little twists and turns, which are always nice because it is fairly predictable. If you have seen, Nicholas Sparks' work before, you're not going to be shocked by the storyline. Mm. But I think the performances and and certainly the tone of the film, I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Well, it's knocked Avatar off the top spot in the US box office.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite, once again, the American, there is quite patriotic. Obviously, he's playing a soldier and their relationship is defined by, a certain event that makes him stay in the army longer than perhaps he would have.
Ooh.
I wonder what that could have been. 9/11, no secrets there. So it really, it is quite patriotic. But if you can kind of, go with it, it's worth it. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5.
Excellent. That's Dear John, and that's playing pretty much everywhere. It's had a very, very big release. Okay, folks, we're going to go to some more music in the news shortly, but keep listening. In the next hour, we're going to review Alice in Wonderland and The Men Who Stare at Goats. We're also giving away that DVD pack containing Counterfeiters, Man on Wire, Spirited Away, Amoros Perros, Taxi to the Dark Side, Harvey Crumpet, La Strada, Rashomon, Departures, and Totsi, courtesy of Madman Entertainment. You just need to SMS us 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au and tell us what Academy Award... what film do you think is going to win the best motion picture at the Academy Awards? You do need to be a Joy member, and you do need to have not won something from Joy in the past 2 weeks. Producer Alan, do we have time for that short piece of music leading up to the news? Fantastic. It's lovely and French and gorgeous. It's some of the instrumental music that was used in La Vie en Rose. You're on the Carson Couch with Thomas and Kylie here on Joy 94.9. Okay, we're back. We'll play that track again. False alarm, people. It's all okay. We just started hearing strange voices and things got a bit weird there with all the hail, and we just thought we'd better play it safe.
Yes, and it was, the voices were just in my head.
Yeah.
And you know what? This appropriately leads into Alice in Wonderland because it does feel a little bit topsy-turvy.
That was a very strange couple of minutes in the studio. Thank you for persevering with us, folks. Sure, everything is fine. Everything's completely fine.
Joy is still here. Yep. We're not underwater. Luckily, we're on the top floor, so we're quite safe. So, Alice in Wonderland. Let's get stuck in.
The latest film by Tim Burton. Now, Kylie, I reckon that the thing we really need to say about this up front is it's not actually a literal adaptation at all of the original Lewis Carroll novels, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. It, in fact, functions as a sequel to those novels. Because it's...
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
You didn't pick that up?
No.
Well, Alice is quite a young child in those films, in those original novels. And in this film, she's now 19 years old. She's being married off in Victorian society. And her original trips to Wonderland are just a vague
that
dream.
That all makes sense
memory.
To me now.
Oh, Kylie.
That really does. Oh, it's like you've just... Oh, thank you.
So, well, this is the problem, you see. I mean, I think a better title for this film would have been Return to Wonderland, Wonder Harder.
Alice in Wonderland 2, Keep on Wondering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very good. So that's the deal. She's now 19 years old. Her original trip to Wonderland, or it's actually called Underland, we discover. And as a child, she misheard it.
Oh, God. You know what? Thank goodness you were paying attention. All of this is just really making sense to me now.
Well, it's a film that's a little bit difficult, I think, to grasp onto. Now, here's the thing. In this version, she's getting married off to this stuffy, ridiculous guy in Victorian society. She's clearly a creative and imaginative woman who wants nothing to do with this. And she runs off and she falls down the rabbit hole and begins a new adventure. Now, the original novels... Part of the joy of them for me, and the various adaptations I've seen since, is the fact that she goes from one sequence to another where something strange and magical and absurd, I mean, these are absurdist texts, happens, and she meets some wacky character. In this new film by Tim Burton, pretty much every single strange character is introduced within the first 10 or 15 minutes. That took away some of the magic for me, because suddenly, instead of a series of segmented funny little moments, we got this kind of hero's journey narrative. This felt like fan fiction to me. It was like someone said, wouldn't it be cool if the Cheshire Cat and the Mad Hatter were friends and went on an adventure? Yeah.
Well,
there was too much story in this
film.
There
was too much story. Yeah. See, there was a lot of plot. And the first thing I thought when I left the cinema was actually like, I'm going to have to reread those books. Like, it felt something. I think maybe this is why I'm kind of going, oh, that makes so much more sense now that you're explaining that. Because I feel like something has really been missing from when I read the books to seeing this film. And I think that maybe Tim Burton's desire, and I have read that he did have a desire to create plot, that he actually didn't want it to be this series of events.
Yeah.
He actually wanted to have more plot, and that was part of him actually choosing to do the project. He wouldn't have done it if they hadn't been able to change that.
Yeah, I think it's a shame. I think the film is the lesser for it, and it feels a bit like it's the kind of story, it's the Wizard of Oz, it's the Narnia stories, it's Lord of the Rings, and they're all fine in their place. But I just, it wasn't really what I wanted from this film. So maybe I'm being unfair because I had unrealistic expectations. But I think it is a bit of a messy film. I found it a bit too chaotic, a bit too shallow maybe. There wasn't enough focus on any of the characters.
How did you feel about the 3D? Did you see it in 3D?
It's just a waste of time. I honestly, apart from Avatar, seriously, I think the 3D in Avatar is incredible.
Yeah.
And it actually creates part of the experience. I think there's some horror films that have used 3D very inventively. Otherwise, to me, it's just a gimmick. It really doesn't add much to the look of the film.
Yeah, look, I have very mixed feelings about 3D because I obviously chose to see this in 3D. And A, for people who wear glasses, putting glasses on top of glasses is very challenging, and you do...
Our producer Alan is nodding in furious agreement.
It really is challenging because it kind of... I seriously had a big red dent in my nose afterwards from just the placement of the glasses over my glasses. So that drives me bonkers. And trying to get into it, and once I kind of let go of trying to see things clearly, then I kind of embrace it. And I do like with this new 3D, and let's face it, it's here to stay. There are so many films coming out with it.
Next couple of years, it's going to be saturated,
I think. Heaps of kids' films, and actually adult films as well.
And old films being re-released.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think so. I think it's here. And what I do like about it is that it is part of the storytelling. To me, it has lost a little bit of its, here's something flying at the screen at you. It's more, this is just the environment, and doesn't this look cool? And some of the effects are amazing. And I think the thing that Alice in Wonderland delivers on is the integration between live animation and animation and 3D. I mean, some of the characters, you can't even imagine how this film would have worked, I don't know, even 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
There's no contrast between the animated characters and the live action characters. It's seamless. The special effects are seamless. It is so incredible that is kind of awe-inspiring.
Yes, now I'm glad you mentioned that, because for all my problems with the fact that they've turned this into a fairly generic story, this film is a series of moving artworks. I mean,
it's amazing.
You would be foolish to dismiss the visual impressiveness of this film, and I love the costuming. Burton has a beautiful sense of style and what he does with costumes. I love the scenic backgrounds. I love the characters. Like you said, the integration of animation, live acting, and CGI technology. The whole film really did look absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's absolutely so believable that is the real world. Like when the rabbit. The white rabbit, oh my God, is so incredibly real that I all of those kind of things I just bought instantly. And I think that is quite an incredible feat. I do have a bit of an issue with Johnny Depp in that I have no clue what he said half the time. No clue.
Yeah,
no
he's
clue.
Scottish for some reason.
He's wearing a kilt and he's kind of got a Scottish accent, does a crazy jig. I don't know.
That jig moment at the end of the film is really...
really cringeworthy. And I think it's because it comes out of tonally, the film has been very Victorian and that feels very modern. But, you know, he's fantastic to watch, and his eyes are incredible, his face is incredible, but I'm blowed if I know what he was saying. I just went with it.
And this part he can do in his sleep. I mean, this was just so Johnny Depp 101. Oh, and I love the man.
Yes.
And I love Tim Burton. I mean, Tim Burton has made one of my favourite films ever, which was Edward Scissorhands. I love the Burton's Batman films. I love Ed Wood. But this is a minor film of his. I don't think it's terrible, but I don't think it's particularly good either.
I actually, just one last thing, Mia Wakanskoski.
That's as good as I would get.
The Australian young actress who plays Alice. I mean, she has got such a whimsical quality about her. She's absolutely gorgeous, and she does somehow have a Joan of Arc kind of feel to her as a gladiator at the end. She is pretty amazing. So I actually felt, as a woman, it was quite an empowering story for young women to see, because she does seem to have, she's kind of really embraces her own journey into womanhood.
Yeah, but she's kind of forced into adopting a destiny as well. Hang on, we're going to go into it. We've got to wind this up. What are you going to give it out of five?
You know what? Oh, I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5.
It's getting a 3 from me.
Okay.
You're on the Carson Couch. This is Joy 94.9. Can we play more music? What are we going to go with? Edward Scissorhands? Yeah, let's go with that. Sorry, it's been a bit chaotic here. Let's go. You are indeed back on the Carson Couch with Thomas and Kylie. Kylie, just quickly, we've had a bit of correspondence during the show.
I love how you call it correspondence. It's so old-fashioned and gorgeous. Someone texted.
Someone rang up.
Someone
actually rang up to say, John from Elsenwick wanted to say that he agrees that the plot was all over the place with Alice in Wonderland. Yeah.
Yeah, we agree, John.
We're with you on that one, John. And also on our Facebook page, so if you do a search for the Carson Couch, you can find that. David O'Connell, who has a really good blog from memory called Screen Fanatic that I highly recommend people look at. He's actually been covering quite a lot of the French Film Festival himself on that blog and has written some really interesting reviews. He likes Skirt Day a little bit more than Maureen and I. Thought it was very authentic, and he also certainly gave the thumbs up to The Army of Crime, which was the film I was talking up. So, yeah, check out David O'Connell's work at screenfanatic.com, or it might be .com.au. Sorry, David, I'm not 100% sure. Google it.
And Google Casting Couch while you're at it, people.
Yeah, let's get cyberized.
Oh, God. Like, with
it's not my day, is it? I'm just having a horrible day.
Let's just stick to correspondence, my friend.
Let's talk about the men who stare at goats.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes. This is a really, really curious film. It's based on a 2004 book by a guy called John Ronson, based on research by John Sargent, all about what the US Army were doing in basically paranormal research and New Age concepts to help soldiers become psychically powerful and have the ability to start infiltrating the enemy with their minds.
Is this a non-fiction book?
This is the real deal.
It is based on a non-fiction book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, it's a non-fiction book. Yeah. Yeah, it's the real deal. And the film actually starts off saying, more of this is true than you would believe.
That scares me a lot.
Yeah, so the film is fictionalized, of course, but apparently a lot of it really is what actually is going on. So Ewan McGregor plays a journalist who wants to get in and prove himself. So he wants to get into Iraq. And while he's there, he bumps into a guy called Lynn Cassidy, who's played by George Clooney. And George Clooney talks up the fact that he used to be a former secret US military psychic soldier.
Psychic soldier? See, I'm already loving it.
He was reactivated after 9/11.
Reactivated? What was he doing prior to 9/11?
Running a dance studio. It's a wacky film.
I love that they have that backstory there.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Throughout flashbacks, we find out that during the 70s, after the Vietnam War, there was Jeff Bridges plays this hippie soldier who decides to start researching New Age technology to bring love to the world. That was how you're going to win wars, through love. And Jeff Bridges is very much in the dude mode here.
Again.
From Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And this led to this kind of psychic training and psychic ability. And so this film is now set in contemporary Iraq war, with the Clooney character taking the McGregor character across Iraq, talking up the fact that he has these psychic abilities and he's on a mission, and Ewan McGregor is somehow tied in through mystical forces.
It sounds like a cross between Star Wars.
Well, there's a lot of Star Wars jokes in this because these guys used to be referred to as Jedis. And, of course, Ewan McGregor played a Jedi. And I'll tell you what, they do wear that joke thin a little bit.
Do they?
Where they constantly talk about Jedis. Strange film. Starts off really, really well. It's this great kind of comedy. It's somewhere between Three Kings and The Manchurian Candidate, which is, you know, the famous film that was about... Yeah,
brainwashing
soldiers and seeing them in to be assassins. And you just don't know how on the level George Clooney's character is. You know, is he absolutely nuts or is there truth behind what he's saying? And I think the answer is somewhere in between. However, this film develops, it's like Alice in Wonderland, it gets messy.
Mm.
To the point that you're really not too sure what exactly it's trying to be. Is it a war film? Is it a satire? Is it an expose? Is it a wacky comedy? And it feels a bit freefall. Kevin Spacey is introduced almost two-thirds of the film into the film as kind of the villain who uses his psychic powers for evil. It's not quite as ridiculous as it sounds, but, you know,
really?
he ends up in the current conflict running one of the interrogation camps. And it's revealed that some of the research they did do was used as torture methods. And some of the stuff we have heard about, you know, playing music, so like,
babies crying and...
Yeah, or even themes like, you know, the Barney music, playing it to prisoners to do their heads in. And so it turns out that some of that stuff did actually get used. But I lost grasp of what this film was trying to say or do, and that was very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes with this kind of genre, it is hard to... You kind of want to know what's the truth, have a baseline of truth, and then you can kind of accept the farce or the comedy or, you know, it's very hard when nothing is steady, nothing is real.
Yeah, well, it's more the tone of the film is not steady.
Right.
And, I mean, you gradually start to you do get a sense, I think, of how much some of this stuff is on the line and how much of it is sort of in development. It is scary to know that the US government is stuffing around with this stuff. It's scary, one, thinking that it might be for real, and it's also scary thinking that so many resources are pumped into this kind of thing.
Mm.
It reminded me a little bit of Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Oh, I love that film.
Which George Clooney directed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where the game show host is convinced he's a secret agent.
Yeah, I think Clooney does have a bit of a wacky kind of crazy side to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He can't just be charming all the time. He's got to be wacky.
Oh, that's so boring, isn't it? It's so boring to just be so gorgeous and handsome all the time. He has got a bit of a wacky kind of sense of humour, I think.
Look, I like this film, but it's one of those films where it's sort of finished and I walked out and just went, oh, okay. And I've forgotten it. Most of it's left my mind. It hasn't left a huge impression. I think it could have been a really amazing film. It's just an adequate film. It's directed by a guy called Grant Heslov. This is his first feature film. He's got an acting background.
Maybe you weren't smoking enough. Maybe that might be part of your enjoyment factor.
That may have helped, perhaps.
Perhaps. I mean, I'm not condoning that by any stretch of the imagination, but some films, seem to...
And just for the record, the title, The Men Who Stare at Goats, is a reference to the fact that part of the training was to stare at goats intently to see if you could stop their hearts with your mind.
See, I have to admit, and I love the title of this film, and I love the marketing of this film, because I've seen these goats everywhere.
Yep.
They've got little goats. I don't know. I keep seeing postcards of goats and posters of goats.
And the goats don't do too well in this film. They actually explain... And again, I don't know. I've got no idea whether this is true or not. But in the film, they claim that they use goats for these experiments because the soldiers didn't like using dogs. They felt too personally attached to them. Originally, apparently, they used to use dogs. They used to get the soldiers to shoot the dogs in the leg. And then learn how to bandage their legs. And when they couldn't... And there's actually quite a funny flashback where there's a soldier with a gun pointing at a little Dachshund puppy. Crying, I can't do this. And that's why they explain, well, we've got the goats
because
they felt better about shooting goats, and then the goats were used for psychic experiments.
Oh, the poor goats.
This should have been just a weirder, wackier, stranger film, but it
sounds pretty weird and wacky, my friend.
It starts off with so much promise, and it just kind of drifts a bit aimlessly. I'm still going to give it 3 stars.
Great, all right. Three stars out of 5.
It's still enjoyable, but maybe wait till DVD.
Okay, lovely.
Yep. We're going to talk about Oscars next. We've had heaps of people getting in touch with us, telling us their predictions. We'll go through all those, and then we'll have our own little discussion.
Oh, we're going to have to put some money on the Oscar picks.
I'm not putting any money anywhere. I am notoriously terrible at picking the Oscars.
Oh, easy money. Easy money for me.
I'm shocking. Let's go to some more music. Let's some more Tim Burton stuff. Let's play Face to Face. This is Susie and the Banshees. It's a piece of music from Batman Returns. And this goes out to former Carson Couch host Mark Pace, who I know adores this song. You're on Joy 94.9. You're back on the Carson Couch with Thomas and Kylie, and it's Oscar season, Kylie.
I know, my favourite time of the year.
Now, we've been asking our listeners all during the show, I went Elmer Fudd then, to get in touch and let us know what they think is going to win at the Academy Awards. So,
just in the best motion picture of the year category, because there's so many categories, it's a bit overwhelming, really.
Yeah, yeah. So we've heard from quite a few people, which is always wonderful. John from Elsternwick's got in touch to say Avatar. I don't think you're going to be alone, John, with your pick of Avatar.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Well, I think it's going to come down between Avatar and The Hurt Locker. They're sort of the two that have been put head-to-head. And see, I'm guessing it might go to Avatar for Best Film, but they're going to give Kathryn Bigelow the Best Director for The Hurt Locker.
I think that you might be on the money.
Because here's the thing. I don't think The Hurt Locker is even her best film. I think she's done better films. But I think the Academy often reward people who've been neglected in the past. And I think there's a sense that she is a fantastic director who really should have had props quite a while ago.
Yeah, and I also think as well that the female directors are so under. The quota.
She's only the fourth.
The fourth in the entire 82 years of the Academy history to be nominated for Best Director. It's crazy how little female craftspeople in the industry are.
In the industry, full stop.
Exactly.
Let alone recognised.
Exactly. Mm. So I think there is a big political movement there to make sure that that's recognised. Mm. But it's interesting how the best motion picture, there's some fantastic films in here, and yet this is what happens in the Oscar race. Somewhere along the line, there kind of seems to be players that get pulled out and they just seem to dominate. Yeah. And other films kind of fall by the wayside because, look, I think Up from Walt Disney, which is the first animated film to ever be in the best motion picture category, I think that is an incredible film.
Well, Tex is one of the people who go in touch with us to say he reckons that should get best film.
I think it is an amazing film, and not just animation, just full stop.
I love Up. Up made my top 10 last year. I think it's a beautiful film. I mean, it's going to get the best animated film for sure.
I'd be shocked
it's just a ridiculous shoeing.
Yeah.
I'm just looking through some more of our correspondence. Now, Karen reckons it's The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, it's going to be close. And I really think they're going to split it. I think it's going to be hard not to give the award to Avatar because it is quite an extraordinary accomplishment.
Yeah. I think, though, the other thing as well is that probably Avatar will dominate the technical awards. That might wear.
It's going to get visual effects, surely.
Surely.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a whole lot of technical awards that they don't broadcast because they have it on a different night. Yep. And, the science and technology awards. I'm sure that there will be a bundle for Avatar in that as well. But it probably will be recognised in the big categories.
Yeah. Sarah and Eva, they said, Avatar will be the winner at the Oscar for the best film, best director and best special effects. They reckon Colin Firth is in with a chance for A Single Man. It's going to be between Firth and Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart.
Yeah, I've just looked at the Independent Spirit Award and it's just been, that's happening live now. And fortunately, Colin Firth has lost out there to Crazy Heart,
Jeff Bridges'
performance. And so, that doesn't bode particularly well. I mean, I wish it would be the case. Mm. The other categories that I particularly like, coming from a writing background, is the adapted screenplay and original screenplay. And look, I have things that I think will win, and then I have what my heart would wish that would get recognised. So in the adapted screenplay, I think Precious is probably top of the list.
For adapted?
Are you thinking an education?
No, I reckon they're going to give it to Up in the Air.
Well, I hope they do give it to Up in the Air because that has, I think Jason Reitman is an incredible director-writer.
Yeah.
And that film is pretty fantastic. And just as the dark horse, wouldn't it be awesome if District 9 won in that kind of category? Unfortunately, those kind of films are not necessarily recognised by the Academy.
Very true. I'd love it to go to In the Loop, the English film, just for its poetic use of profanity. It's just so extraordinary.
So that's going to be an interesting category I think poor District 9, it's probably not going to win in there. They want serious films. And the original screenplay, I think The Hurt Locker will probably
Yeah, I think it will too. Although I'd love it to go to Up. Because Up is such a tightly written film.
It's beautiful.
There is not a situation, a character, or a joke that's wasted in that film. It's such a complete work.
Yeah, it's beautifully written. So my heart is with Up, but I think Hurt Locker will get it.
Yeah. Now, this person hasn't given us their name, but they reckon Avatar or The Hurt Locker seem like the obvious contenders. That's what we're saying, yes. But they would gladly offer a limb to see their favourite film take the prize, which is A Serious Man. That's the Joel and Ethan Coen film, very much the Midwest Jewish film.
I mean, they were really recognised. Was it the year before last?
They cleaned up No
Country for Old Men. There Will Be Blood. There Will Be Blood. I'm thinking
There Will Be Blood was the same year as No Country for
Old
Men.
That's right. There was those kind of two that
seemed the two heavy hitters that year.
Dominated. So
yeah. Tony's also said he predicts that Avatar will win, but unfortunately, he thinks he would like to see A Serious Man win as well.
Oh, so interesting. I always think it's very interesting. The Academy, it's a public holiday on Monday. Mm-hmm. So for the first time, most people will be able to watch it live. Channel 9 is actually broadcasting it live from midday with the red carpet, mm-hmm. and then the actual presentations begin at 12:30 and it goes through till 4 p.m.
Yep.
And then they'll repeat a kind of more condensed version at 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to wait till that night. I'm going to a party where the people are going to record us and we're going to try to avoid all news about it.
Oh, that's so hard, though. That's so hard.
Now, Marcus has said, I loved Avatar and it's the only one you mentioned that I've seen. I'll give my vote to. I also think it will win due to its winning. This is interesting. Due to its winning combination of appeal to people who like violence and those who love beauty.
It's a bit of a contradiction.
Thrills and an urgent environmental and political message critique of human greed. I'm with you, Marcus. I think people aren't giving Avatar the credit it deserves in terms of its story writing. I think it's a simple story, but it's full of archetypes and just some really age-old ideas, which I'm quite happy to see. You know, I can't see how you could complain about Avatar but still love a film like Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think that, compared to the last three Star Wars, I'm far more interested in Avatar. It just really, certainly works for me.
Marcus is one of the DVDs we're giving away in this prize pack is La Strada, and Marcus saw La Strada and Armacord at the Melbourne Cinematheque on Wednesday, and he said most of the audience had a good old cathartic cry during Armacord. I know. I saw Armacord for the first time a few years ago on Grand Final Day, would you believe? That's what I
would believe.
Yeah.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Hey, Mark Pace got in touch. Thanks for playing Face to Face, guys. I'm listening to the show, stuck in traffic and loving the movie Banter. Thanks, Mark. Hope you get home safely.
I'm hoping that we all get home safely. If you're on the roads, then please be careful, people. Have patience. And, safe travels.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really feeling for you having to get back on your push bike.
I just feel like an idiot. I don't know. I was desperate. I had to get into the studio somehow.
That is the lengths you'll go to review movies and then do the show, is to make sure that you're on your deadly treadly even in a hailstorm.
Exactly. It's hardcore. Hey, why don't we do the draw right now?
I'd love to. Let's do it.
We're into this. So we're giving away, this is thanks to Madman Entertainment, a 10-DVD pack of Academy Award related films, including Departures, which is a Japanese film that won for Best Foreign Film last year. So we're giving away a copy of Counterfeiters, Man on Wire, Spirited Away, Amoris Peros, Taxi to the Dark Side, Harvey Crumpet, La Strada, Rashomon, and Totsi as well, of course, Departures. So I've got all the...
Oh, you've got the...
Here, hang on.
We need a barrel girl. Alan, will you be the barrel girl?
All right, Alan.
I called Alan a lesbian last week, so it's only appropriate that I get him to be the barrel girl this week.
Pick one of those bad boys, Alan. Who is it? It is Sarah and Eva who were predicting Avatar to win. Sarah and Eva, you've just won that 10-pack of extraordinary DVDs thanks to Mam. And after the show, somebody will get in touch with you and let you know how that all is going to work. Congratulations. You're very lucky people. Now, final song for the night, Alan? Yep. The final song I'm going to play is up for an Academy Award. It's The Weary Kind from Crazy Heart, and I'm predicting this is going to win the award.
I think you might be right there.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most predictable Academy Awards ever, actually. I think a lot of categories are pretty certain.
I agree. You know what, though? There's always a few dark horses.
Weird things happen. Look, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how the whole Avatar Hurt Locker thing plays out.
Absolutely.
Anyway, meanwhile, yeah, this is The Weary Kind. It's from the film Crazy Heart by Ryan Bingham is the singer on the song. You're on the casting couch. This is Joy 94.9. That's The Weary Kind by Ryan Bingham from the soundtrack to Crazy Heart, the song that I'm picking to win the Oscar for best song.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah,
that helps.
Just to make sure. Dennis and Dick have just showed up. They had a chat to them, and they would like to see Avatar win as well.
Oh, look, we're all in agreement. All right, yeah. Well, I'll take your money now, mm-hmm. and we'll see how we go next week.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm notoriously bad at predicting these, so...
your picks sound pretty good.
All right. Oh, look, thank you, everybody, who have been listening to this show. It has been a little bit fraught with us sort of running in the last minute with the rain and the false alarm and just the general chaos.
Yeah, it has felt a little bit like the hail has happened inside the studio rather than outside the studio. Yeah.
Hope all of you are safe and wherever it is you're going tonight, you're going to be careful and not do anything silly.
Take your galoshes with you.
Take your galoshes because it's a bit nutty out there,
yes.
I believe. So just, yeah, take it easy. Thank you very much to Murray for looking after the news for us today. Thanks to Maureen to come in to talk all things French Film Festival, or the Alliance Française French Film Festival.
Oh, mais oui, la ou la la.
You
la,
like
la,
that? La. Oh, la 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 la. C'est bon, très bien. That's how I got through my year in France, is just saying, très bien, bonjour.
Oh, you know what? How I would
say?
Merci
beaucoup.
I would just say, latte, café latte, yeah. And croissant.
Croissant, s'il vous plaît.
That's it. All right, we've totally got distracted by that.
I got very good at saying, excusez-moi, je n'en parle pas français. Oh, see, I can't even remember. I learned how to say I don't speak French. That's the sentence I mastered.
I, you know what? I think they would have recognised that.
Yeah, they got it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I get it.
Nick, our podcaster, will have this up online at joy.org.au/podcast. So thank you, Nick, for that. Alan, our panellist and producer, thanks again for making another terrific show happen. It wasn't this one, but it was another one that happened at another point, so thank you for that.
But you do make a lovely barrel girl.
Yes, thank you. No, oh, God. Thank you, everybody, for listening and putting up with us. Thank you to our prize winners. I've dropped you on the floor, but I picked you up again. Sarah and Eva, who predicted Avatar, are winning that extraordinary 10-DVD pack from Madman. So keep listening. A Touch of Pink with Dennis and Dix is coming up, and I'm pretty sure the tunes they're going to play are going to kind of lift all our spirits after this kind of rainy, apocalyptic hailstorm of a day. Have a good week, everybody.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Should you or any member of your IM force be caught or killed, the Secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions.
The Casting Couch, Joy 94.9's premier movie show.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.